This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Broadcasting from the WEEI studios. Powered by Verizon. 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1. Lawrence, Boston. And Odyssey Sports Station.
This hour of Afternoons is brought to you by East Coast Metal Roofing. Pay no interest and make no payments for an entire year during their Beat the Heat savings event.
And the number one player who will take the biggest leap in year number two is the quarterback up in New England, Mr. Drake May. Sophomore season for Drake May. Look for him to make a giant leap in the Josh McDaniels offense. He is the leader of this franchise already in his second year, and he now has Mike Vrabel as a head coach, Josh McDaniels as an offensive coordinator, and plenty of new weapons and offensive linemen to protect him. Patriots fans, I am very high on Drake May.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
WEEI Afternoons, and that was the voice of noted Drake May superfan, Peter Schrager, who, I gotta tell you, so brag, I've done TV over the years, and sometimes they just give you a point to argue that you don't necessarily believe.
Really?
Yeah, TV. Oh. That's where they manufacture opinions, but we won't go down that road. And I've done it many times. That's what that sounded like right there. Like, he just was told, you need to sell Drake May is going to be the biggest year two jump guy or whatever, breakout player.
Yeah.
That's what it felt like to me. Yeah. And we have talked about Peter Schrager and his affinity for Josh McDaniels, his affinity for Mike Vrabel, his affinity for Drake May.
Just kind of remarkable, yeah.
What was the, just missed the interception, whatever.
Ignore the interceptions. Just the four interceptions. Yeah, don't worry about
just
that.
Just dismiss those.
Yeah. Then he had more.
It's very easy to like quarterbacks when you dismiss their interceptions. But he, the noted super fan and aggregator that he is, he actually retweeted a Savage Sports tweet today that said, I would take Drake May over Caleb Williams any day. Peter Schrager said, good debate. 1 year in, who would you rather have the next decade, Drake May or Caleb Williams? Obviously, these are the two guys that were sandwiched around the obvious answer from the QB class right now.
Yeah.
Jaden Daniels. Everybody's taking Jaden Daniels if you had a shot.
Absolutely.
In that QB class. Who's the second best quarterback? Who do you feel better about long term? This was exacerbated for Caleb Williams yesterday when a video from Bears training camp was making the rounds on social media, where we've all, if you've been to a practice, you see all these teams, high school, college, they have the net with the three holes in it that catches the football, the quarterbacks throw at
sure,
it.
Sure, sure.
Whole thing.
Yeah.
He did not do well. He did not put any in the hole. Pause.
Thank you.
And he threw one that went way past the net the ball boy had to get. And then, worse yet, isn't that he just missed it? Because Joe Milton missed the net.
Yeah.
Guys missed the net.
Yes.
He turns, and I'm going to use a word I like. I don't even know if it's appropriate. Skulked off. Like, his head was down. He was kind of moping and walking out the back. And I think that's the biggest issue with Caleb Williams. It's not interceptions, accuracy, hero ball, sacks taken. I think people still think he's a dink. He has the best, the worst body language and the most glaring examples of, ooh, that's a bad look for him.
Yes.
Over the last, what, we're going back 2 years now? 2+ years with the crying on mom's shoulder and people don't like his nail polish and people don't like this and that and all these various things.
Yeah, to your point, like this was something that came up in college.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
After he wins the Heisman, people get a full year to try to say why he's not the presumptive number one pick in the draft.
Look for warts.
Some of it was overblown. Some of it was trying to find things in his game that weren't there. But the whole story that popped of, oh, we want a stake in the team that we go to.
And we want to circumvent tax code with the contract. That was an eye-opening one.
There have been,
especially in Chicago.
Yeah, a number of different verified reports of stuff happening off the field just related to personality and opinion of oneself that made him questionable as he got into the draft. But at the time, you looked at the numbers and the body of work and went, well, we can't not pick him. He still has, you know, he's still head and shoulders at the time, apparently above Jaden Daniels. You know, now that we look at it, hindsight being 2020, maybe you take the performance of the guy in his draft year over the performance of the guy the year before his draft year. But either way, to your point, yeah, there were plenty of questions that popped up.
Well, he was salvaged by two words, the best quarterback in football, Patrick Mahomes.
Right.
He was the next Patrick Mahomes. He's the closest thing to Patrick Mahomes. But the flip side of that. So let's look at this from a Drake May perspective. As we analyze his year two jump, his strengths, weaknesses, warts. So we just talked about some of the issues that dog Caleb Williams.
Yes.
Like, do they even like him? Remember that was some talk, I think, in the Patriots game or the game right before, because all the sacks were happening and people weren't helping him up after he was sacked.
Yes.
And it's like, that's that gotcha moment. They don't love their quarterback. They're not fighting with their quarterback. They don't care about him. That whole thing. What is the biggest, because I would disagree on the leadership part from Pete Schrager. Like, it's clear that Drake May is the leader of the Patriots. I don't know. Mike Giardi just told me every time he sees Mike Vrabel, he's telling Drake May how to lead, that it isn't natural, that he has to say, get over there, celebrate, do this, do that.
He's not the leader of the Patriots. He's the quarterback of the Patriots.
Correct.
They want to become the leader. And, you know, he organized the team trip this offseason and whatever else. So he's
sort of, although that's trickled out that that may have been more of like a group dynamic. And then he's just like, well, why don't you come here where I live?
Yeah.
Almost seemed like it was out of convenience for him.
Oh.
He didn't have to travel.
Okay, well, in that case, I like it even less, and it doesn't help the explanation even more. So they want him to be the leader. As the quarterback, you're kind of the de facto leader. But to say he's the leader of the Patriots, you can't get there yet. It's Vrabel and then a pretty significant drop-off.
That being said, I don't think he has the negative leadership tones that Caleb Williams might have.
Yeah.
What is the biggest negative for Drake May right now? If we're comparing the floors or the negatives of Caleb Williams, and we just articulated everything that goes into his experience, what's the biggest negatives for Drake May, why you would actually want Caleb Williams over Drake May?
Well, the biggest negative that's come out during this camp is the seeming inability or still growing nature of making the easy pass. Just completed, just
step back
and throw. The problem is, I don't know if Caleb Williams necessarily has that either.
I don't either.
He was kind of a, you know, he was very flashy in college, but he definitely didn't show the propensity to do that. So I think it's just general, right now it's general inaccuracy. It's just it's decision-making, poor decision-making, feeling the pressure of behind a poor offensive line and not making the right decision. So that is not, that's not really something that I would say that either quarterback has mastered right now. What else is on your list there?
Well, I think leadership.
Okay.
I think that whatever the, this is hard to quantify, articulate. Whatever led to the need for Joe Milton to be traded, the clear the runway, pave the way, clear the decks, whatever the hell the terminology that they were putting out there was.
Right, right.
That.
Whatever caused you to come to the conclusion that we need this kid out
Correct.
Here.
I don't think you clear the runway for Tom Brady or, you know, these guys that are just alphas. You don't clear the runway, for example, Mike Vrabel.
Yes.
Mike Vrabel, every room he's ever walked in, he was the cockiest SOB in that room.
Right?
Like
right.
He was, you don't need to get people out of his way. He gets people out of his way naturally. And the fact that there was this weird need to do that, even if Joe Milton requested a trade, and even if Joe Milton is whatever, that's a weird thing for me, the way that whole thing was handled. And I also just have, you know, I have little, don't run with this. We're not putting this on Twitter and /DivaQB. There are a little like modern diva QB tendencies in both guys.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you have to accept that now as just it's the year 2025. They play 7-on-7 in these Manning camps or Elite 11 or whatever. All these things I read about that all these like former QBs are running and doing. Cam Newton's got his team and Peyton Manning, whatever. Do I just have to accept that they are no longer going to be the Peyton Manning, Tom Brady mentality, or do I have to accept it with these two guys and worry about it?
I think you can accept it, but you have to win in order to act like that. You have to,
especially scrimmages.
Yes, you have.
You're the number one pick.
You have to not lose to Josh Dobbs, the guy who was brought in because you needed the runway cleared.
Safe.
You can't lose and throw multiple picks, and maybe one wasn't your fault. Whatever. You can believe whatever you want to believe. The other one was. The other one was you throw and not even your starting corner. Alex Austin came in and picked it off, and it would have been a pick six if it was a real game. So I think there is some diva-ness, like the quarterback position has been propped up. There's rules in place so you can't go and, you know, give the quarterback the welcome to the NFL moment, and right. That's fine. And also in college with the NIL, they're making a lot of money before pro.
The Nico kid from Tennessee to UCLA, like the whole transfer portal, the kid, hell, I don't know the kid, so I don't want to like badmouth him, but these quarterbacks are living superstar lives earlier and earlier. It's the AAU.
Right.
The AAU culture is now very much alive with quarterbacks in college football, in high school football, their development. And I just wonder if that's going to change who these guys are, and you're not going to have the same. And that could be something that Josh Allen, who is the comp for Drake May, he has different makeup and mentality because he wasn't a star prospect. He doesn't come from a family of athletes that knew professional and college sports.
There's something to that.
You know, whatever he did, the story, I sent my tape to everybody and one guy answered, so I went there kind of thing. That mentality might be why he's different beyond the physical.
It's not being taught that these quarterbacks, you don't have to be a dog. You know, you don't have to be a grinder. You don't have to the different kind of characteristics that you're talking about for a guy who has been an under. Exactly. Transfer, go chase the bag, and, you know, everything will be taken care of because you're on a pedestal more so than ever before.
Tom Brady, Drew Henson, Michigan. Like that whole story, which I think did help mold the competitive fire of Tom Brady, he could have treated it differently. Now, back then, you sit out a year and transferring's a lot different. But if Tom Brady were at Michigan now, growing up in this age group, and he's 24 years old, and he thinks he's the starter at Michigan, and they bring in hotshot Drew Henson, does Tom Brady transfer
Absolutely.
To, and does Tom Brady have a different competitive makeup than he had when he entered the NFL, his original path for Michigan?
No question about it. Absolutely he does. And so for a guy like Drake right now, he's not going to be challenged. It's not going to be taught or enforced just through action that you know, you have to do X, Y, and Z to survive. He either has it intrinsically that he's going to have to play that way, or he doesn't. And I don't know if it's been proven that he has that kind of mentality to outwork the competition, to do all those kind of things.
So you don't think Vrabel can mold that, as he is apparently trying to do and forged in Foxborough and other?
I just think a coach can only take it so far. You can tell me whatever you want about how you want me to play and how I need to work for everything I get, but you just traded my main competition. You can barely hit me during training camp. The guys aren't working nearly as hard as they are, and I've been given everything that I've wanted to this point in my career, collegiate and professional. So I just, there aren't lessons that are being learned through actual play as much as there were. A coach can only take you so far.
So who would you take? What's the answer to the question? Caleb Williams or Drake May for the next 10 years right now?
I still take Drake. I do. And I as much
Homer.
Who do you take?
Drake May.
Okay, there you go. Yeah, I think as much as there's still a lot that we don't know and concerns us, the stuff that we know about Caleb is more negative, where I think Drake is very much, oh, he could go either way. Could be good leader, could be a bad leader, kind of just is right now. There's too much about Drake May that just simply is. Where I think Caleb, a lot of our preconceived notions in college are being proven at the professional level about the mental makeup and just the general, the leader, the guy that you're around. I think a lot of that's been proven.
And we're going to get answers this year for both. We're going to get more answers, I think, for most people on Caleb Williams, because they've invested in recent years at wide receiver, now the offensive line, now the offensive coordinator, head coach, play caller. He's kind of running out. Drake May still has Mike Giardi saying, well, the biggest weakness on the team is still the offensive line.
Yes.
So if things don't go well, he's getting sacked, there's fumbles. Drake May still maybe has another year of excuses. I think Caleb Williams is getting an answer this year. But I think, you know, we see more of Drake May. We probably like Drake May more. And we see the warts highlighted from Caleb Williams, because he put up numbers last year in Chicago. He put up some numbers.
Yeah.
But I would go Drake May. Something else that's jumped up onto my radar.
Okay.
Through the reporting of the practice on Friday night, which was sort of a game, number one pick, everything, rules. There were captains.
Yes.
And a couple guys were captains that kind of surprised me. And then it was written, and I should probably remember by who, but it was by somebody. I swear it was written that Christian Ellis and Jalen Hawkins were both captains.
Wow.
And could very well take those positions when the regular season rolls around. Christian Ellis and Jalen Hawkins are going to be captains of the 2025 New England Patriots?
I mean, they've gotten some positive press to this
point. Are you Ron Burgundy?
In training camp? Yes, I am, because that's of all of the, so should I be?
I think it's terrible. Let me just fast track.
I was going to say, like, should I be concerned that the say higher leverage players that you brought, just say specific to the defense,
Robert Spillane, if he's not a captain,
Milton Williams, where the hell is Carlton Davis still? Right. Like these guys that
Christian
were
Gonzalez
supposed to, you brought in as your Jabril starters Peppers. To make Christian Ellis and all due respect to Christian Ellis and Jalen Hawkins, they were not supposed to be part of any thought process with the 2025 Patriots unless you had injuries everywhere on your defense.
Right.
Right.
And yeah, it would surprise me. And again, this is where I'm just going with what I saw written, and I'm going to take the reporter's word for it that there is a little buzz of this, talk of this, whatever potential pathway for this, but I don't think it's a good sign for the Patriots if Christian Ellis and Jalen Hawkins are defensive captains.
Yeah.
To me, your defensive captains should be Robert Spillane,
yep.
Christian Gonzalez,
yep.
Probably one of the defensive linemen and maybe one of the safeties if you go heavy on that side.
Yeah.
You usually only get three because it's usually three on defense, three on offense, one on special teams. Brendan Schooler, probably going to be the captain. He's been lobbying for it. I hate it, but he's probably going to be the captain.
So pick between what? Barmore, Williams, I don't know, Keon White and all of his violence. Do you want that to be the
sure.
tone setter? I could be convinced.
I'll tell you who it shouldn't be.
The two that you just mentioned.
Also Carlton Davis.
Yeah.
Since
yeah.
he barely showed up for the offseason, barely shows up for training camp, barely passed his conditioning run.
What's
a lot
our,
of barelys there.
What's our level of, give me an out of 10 level of concern for what you've seen from there so far?
Well, I haven't seen a ton. I don't believe I've seen anything with thine own eyes.
Yeah, right.
Because he's never out there.
I think I read two walkthroughs he's yeah. been a part of to
yeah.
this point.
I don't want to overreact because he's a veteran. I think he does probably know what he needs. But for a team that has used the C word, not the bad C word, but the culture C word, okay. all offseason
yeah.
for one of your, what is it, $18 million a year, high price free agent signings to be not AWOL, but not all in, fully invested.
Yeah.
I just don't think that falls in line with the culture and everything you're trying to do. So, no, I'd be pissed if I were Mike Vrabel and Elliot Wolf. And, you know he had the bonus for $200,000 if he came to 27 workouts and
yeah.
he didn't. He was on jet skis somewhere screwing around.
And, I mean, I saw the argument being, and this was also written, I swear, the argument being, oh, he's never played more than 14 games in a season. They're really trying to manage him. They know what he needs in order to get ready. That's all. That's not.
P.S.
That's not. But it's not good enough. It's not good enough for a team that spent more money than anybody in free agency to already have somebody being like, oh, well, we're making every excuse in the book because
yeah.
come week one, he's gonna be out there. You don't need to worry about how am I supposed to not worry about that?
And new guys need to, even new guys that have veteran status, reputation, money, I believe need to earn their stripes.
Sure.
Like, let's go back to the baseball season. Alex Bregman getting on the bus with the young guys in suits and like, you're the new guy here and have money, but you get still, there's a break-in period.
Yes.
You know, if Carlton Davis had re-signed for 3 years, whatever it is, $60 million, and had been here for the last 2 or 3 years, most people know him. He's accomplished. He's done a lot of good things for this defense. Okay, you want to go off on jet skis and miss some things? That's a little different. But as the new guy with the new coach and the new culture and the new expectations, plus, I don't love the veteran guy opposite Gonzalez as he learns in year three what a professional is, what matters, how to handle money, how to handle contracts.
Right.
I just don't think that's a good look overall for the player, the team, the unit, anything like that. But no, the captains to me on this team should be pretty simple to name a few of them.
Yes.
Drake May better be a captain.
Absolutely.
I think Hunter Henry should be a captain.
Yeah, sure.
He's been one. He's not been one. He's talked about it. Doesn't matter. But I think he should be a captain.
He's a known quantity. He should be a big part of the offense, at least in the red zone, hopefully.
Christian Gonzalez, I think, should be a captain.
Yep.
Robert Spillane, I think, should be a captain.
Yep.
And Brendan Schooler should be a captain. That leaves two slots. Probably on offense. I don't know. I believe the Texans made Stephon Diggs a captain last year.
That
in
sounds
his first
right.
year early
yeah.
on.
Yeah.
I don't know that I want to go down that road, and it's nothing to do with social media and Stiz's world of whatever the hell's going on in the R&B hip-hop world that Stiz sees, and I don't, but I just don't know that I want him to be a captain. I don't know that I would have a wide receiver as a captain. I don't know if I could.
Yeah.
Pop Douglas, maybe?
I wouldn't mind. I mean, if
Matt Collins.
If you're going to name...
The no-shoed one.
But just in general, if you're going to name a captain, wouldn't you also prefer that guy who's a captain this year also has the chance to be a captain next year? Like, I don't...
Is it a trick question?
No, it's not. Like, in my mind, a leadership group that you're establishing should be something that, yeah, you'll have a guy or two filter in or out depending on roster turnover, but I'd like to know that a leader this year is going to be a leader next year, may even be in 3 years as you build your culture. Guys who are there, foundational members of what you're trying to build. I look at Stephon Diggs as hopefully being a hired gun to help you get to the point where you can get a more reliable wide receiver. Maybe I'm looking too far into what a leader means, but I would like to have some guys that I think, oh, they're going to be here for the long haul, setting that kind of tone.
Well, along those lines, and I also don't know exactly how Vrabel's going to do it. Are we going to have fake elections, appointments by coaches, real elections where whoever actually wins the vote wins the job? I don't know how he's going to handle it.
Yeah.
Usually you have one on the offensive line. I guess Morgan Moses would be the most likely leader, but yeah, he's like a one-year guy potentially.
Yeah.
Do you just give it to Will Campbell right out the gates, and because you're the young stud, kind of like they do in a lot of places with rookie quarterbacks, they're going to start. You might as well be the captain of the team.
I don't mind it. I don't love it. I don't mind it.
Because I don't know who – Mike Onwenu does not seem like captain material. They've been bitching about his weight for 3 years,
right,
like his performance. I just – So it's an interesting topic. The jumping off point for me was, wait, Christian Ellis and Jalen Hawkins are going to be captains of
right,
the Patriots? I don't know. I just don't see it.
Like the first look that I'm seeing for team organized activities, this is my first taste of what Patriots football in 2025 yeah, is supposed to be. And these are my yeah, guys. These are the guys trudging out for a coin toss or anything.
The bus,
like
they get off the bus first and I'm supposed to be scared of those guys. No offense to them. They're
right,
NFL players. That's great. But
yeah,
they're not exactly the bus guys I'd want to look for.
No.
617-779-7937 if you want to respond to any of the talk of Patriots training camp, the ups, the downs. Drake May, is he your guy for the next 10 years, or is he going to falter like Caleb Williams will, or some people think will, in Chicago? Up next, we may have a surprise. We may have a very interesting segment here on WEEI Afternoons. We're not sure. You got to stick around to find out, but if it comes to fruition, I promise you won't regret listening to it. That's up next here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, Dan Ball, give me what's trending.
The Christian Arcan Show, weeknights starting at 6. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, here's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. Brought to you by the 99 Restaurant. The Red Sox completed the series sweep over the Houston Astros yesterday afternoon with a 6-1 win at Fenway Park. Boston is 11 games over 500 for the first time in 3 years. The Red Sox begin a 3-game series against the Kansas City Royals tonight at Fenway Park. First pitch is at 7:10. Brian Baio will go for the Red Sox, and here is your lineup for tonight as Romy Gonzalez leads off at second. Then it's Alex Bregman at third, Roman Anthony in right, Rob Refsnyder is your DH, or Trevor Story at short. John Rafaela in center, Jared Duran in left, Abraham Toro at first, and then Connor Wong is your catcher, and he is batting ninth. You can listen to the game on WEEI FM 93.7 and across the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's, go shopping, get rewarded. MassMutual pregame show with Christian Arcan begins at 6:10, and Will Fleming and Will Middlebrooks have the call of the game. The Patriots completed day 10 of training camp earlier today. As announced by the team, the statue unveiling for Tom Brady on Friday is set for 6 p.m. The Patriots preseason game against the Commanders will kick off at 7:30 Eastern. New Celtics minority owner Steve Pagliuca released a statement confirming an offer had been made to buy the WNBA's Connecticut Sun and move it out of Mohegan Sun Arena. He also said there were still approvals that had not been obtained from the league to this point. And finally, Cameron Young became the 1,000th unique player to win a recognized PGA Tour event after winning the Wyndham Championship. Visit the 99 Restaurant Monday through Wednesday for their newest big deal meal, the Crispy Fried Twin Catch with North Atlantic Cod and Crispy Shrimp, just $14.99 every Monday through Wednesday. You gotta love the Nines. I'm Dan Ball. This is trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. More afternoons coming up live from Fenway Park right up.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
After this.
WEEI Afternoons with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
Like, I told you Joe Ryan was the guy they wanted. He was the guy I wanted. I think he's still the guy they want. I think it'll be revisited in the offseason. I would not be surprised at all if he's here opening day, spring training. I think Joe Ryan is the guy they want. Now they know what the price might look like.
WEEI Afternoons back here live, Fenway Park in our Ford Fenway Clubhouse studios with a couple special guests. Our buddy, Will Fleming, and I'll let you know in about 20 minutes what the other guy is to the show and to me. Apparently my nemesis over the weekend on social media, Jared Carrabas. Welcome. And I say that
with all honesty.
Your
name is Andy?
My name is Andy.
Okay. I'm just asking.
No, I know. I know you were confused. That's why I responded. Mm-hmm. I let you know who I was and why I was talking about you and all that. So
I didn't even hear it. To be honest, I'll be honest with you. I haven't heard it. I saw tweets about it. And what I said on the podcast last night was, it's not about who said it. It's the message that I've been hearing for a long time, and it's tired.
Okay.
I'm aggravated by it.
And what... So, Will, you want to step in? Because you are the TV guy.
No, you guys can do your thing.
Okay.
But I would just say this. So I've known now Jared for probably 3 years as like a close friend of mine, and I think there is something of a misperception about what he does and what a lot of people in his world... First of all, I think he's as connected as anybody I know in the game.
Really. Okay.
And so I think that's probably what he's talking about, where like I hear stuff and I tell him what I just heard and he goes, yeah, I heard that a week ago. So it's, I think that's probably where he's coming from, is he works so hard to get sources, to know people with this team. He is connected. And I think that's probably just because he does a couple events on Nesson does not sort of, in my mind anyway, diminish how connected and by the way, he's willing to, if you do listen to what he says, he will rip people when needed.
Okay. Yep.
So it's not the super fan thing, by the way. Nesson started that,
like, which ironically enough, it was a former Barstool employee that did that, and he was so sorry. But yeah, I mean, so it's less to do with you. It's more to do that when I first started out here, that's what I had to deal with. It's like, who are you? You're just a fan. What do you know? What can you tell me that I don't already know? And the answer to that is more than you know, for sure. But I don't know. I just think it's lazy to say that instead of being like, I could get to know this guy. I'm in Boston. I'm right down the street. So,
okay.
Yeah. I mean, but I'll put it this way. So Dan Shaughnessy was one of those guys that was like, who are you?
Yep.
What are you? Like, he went on your competing station, the Sports Hub, and he said, what does he know? He's not in the clubhouse. He's not in the dugout. And I said, it's at the time, 2016, we have cell phones. You don't have to be in the dugout every day to get information. But now I am in the dugout. Like, I am talking to these people all the time. And I will say this, I'm not a journalist. I don't pretend to be a journalist. If we get information, it's offered in an unsolicited manner. It's just people being like, hey, just want to keep you in the know on this so that when you have opinions that you can have correct opinions or you can have informed opinions. It's not like we're out here breaking news. We're not trying to do that. But it's my understanding that you said I wasn't connected on Joe Ryan.
No. So we actually went back. We couldn't find it because we weren't even sure whether it was Thursday or Friday.
Uh-huh.
But my presumption is, because I do remember talking about you and referencing it in a way, and I definitely said superfan.
Which
I've
is
seen
fine.
That commercial, the superfan.
Right,
a thousand
that's fine.
Times.
It's because that's our inside joke. But if I don't know you, then it comes across as an insult.
Right. But for me, as just a viewer, that's what I see of you.
Sure.
Right? A lot during Red Sox.
Fair.
And I don't have... Dan Ball is our producer and fill-in host.
Hey.
He's a big fan of yours, been a listener for a long time. And he generally brings Jared Carrabas takes to the show. Oh, I was listening to the podcast. He says this, that kind of thing. So he keeps you in our world, so to speak. And I think he had said something about you believed it was at the 5-yard line. Something to that effect.
Yeah, through the stream that you guys were doing during the trade deadline,
seemed
to get the kind of feel that it was very close to getting done.
And poor timing, I guess, on this interview. Passan confirmed that a couple hours ago.
Yeah. So, right. And part of this is the whole discussion, because I was reading The Athletic this morning. Their guy had a part one perspective. It never got close. It was last minute. All these different things. And as these stories always are, you get different sources, different reporters with different angles or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
So as we're piecing it together, I said something to the effect, and I don't know if this is how it was portrayed to you or not, was, you know, he works for Nesson because I lived that life. I worked for Patriots.com, Patriots Football Weekly. I lived that life of what does he know?
That's a
freelance
gig for me, though. That's not my
No, I know. Piece. But you are on Nesson.
Correct.
And I do assume that Nesson has some input to a lot of people that collect paychecks from them in various ways.
Yeah.
And I think I said something for a guy who works for Nesson and is the self-proclaimed super fan.
Not self-proclaimed.
Okay. Well, whoever proclaimed you the super fan. we need to take some of it with a grain of salt or something. That maybe some of the information is from one side, or even propaganda is a strong word, but positive for the Boston Red Sox. Helps the Boston Red Sox with their story, narrative, whatever the hell they want to get out there. I think that's what I said. I don't know if that's what was portrayed to you or not.
Again, I did not hear the audio, but there was multiple people that were saying, like, speak with your chest like you did on the radio. And I was like, oh, so he kind of came at me pretty hard. But
I don't really know what that means. But yeah, I think I just told you what I said.
Yeah, in terms
of... Was my
of,
chest out? Maybe, maybe not.
Maybe.
You guys both have big chests. I'm a little envious of both of you, to be honest.
Thank you.
I can co-sign that. Yeah, yeah.
I think in terms of like the propaganda, I admitted everything that comes to me is from the Red Sox.
Right.
I'm not Ken Rosenthal. I'm not checking in with the Twins for their perspective. But I think when we're doing the podcast, we are entertainment. We get information... I don't go digging for it. I don't ask for it when it comes across our dash. It's almost like I'll never hit you with the breaking news tweet, but we'll feed our audience information because it's like it's almost like this secret society. You listen to the podcast, you get to know stuff a week before the other guys get it and they put it out. It's not a cop-out to be like, I'm not a journalist if we get it wrong, but I knew that the Joe Ryan stuff was correct. And I had to sit there and take it for a week while... You know, different shows. I mean, I know that they're doing it on the Sports Hub today. Like they're running, they're playing the audio. Oh, he got it wrong. They weren't even close. Passan comes and he's like, listen, they were actually close. Oh. So we have to, but there's never any accountability for that. It's like, we'll trash you because we think that you're wrong. But when you're proven correct a few days later, it's like, let's move on. Let's move on, actually.
Right. Yeah. Right.
I find that to be really weird in our media ecosystem. It's like these articles get written. Where, and I told all you guys months ago, they coveted Joe Ryan. They wanted him. And by the way, I've had conversations that I will never share with anybody on the record that prove that it was very close to getting done. Mm-hmm. It just was. And so, you know, whether it's Bob Nightingale or anybody else, the idea that it was quote-unquote feeble or that they didn't engage is just ludicrous.
It's disingenuous.
It is.
Yeah. And so I think when you tie the pieces together, because again, I'm not talking to anyone on the Twins side of things, but if the Red Sox feel like, hey, we almost got this thing done, and then the Twins are saying they barely even tried, that just says to me the Twins never really had any intent. They were just, they were stringing the Red Sox along. They were saying, let's see how far they'll go. If they do something crazy, we'll say yes.
Right.
But we want to gauge what the interest is.
So I think I should. So my general perspective on everything is believe everything and believe nothing. That's how I approach everything. Like there could be some truth to every rumor I hear, every report I hear, and there also could be falsehood to every report. Like the example in my world was Adam Schefter saying the Patriots won't trade Jimmy Garoppolo for 4 first round picks. And then a couple months later, they trade him for a second round pick. It's like that was clearly manipulated information that was put out by the Patriots for purposes that they knew. So I always have this skeptical view. I think the thing that set me up, so earlier I told the story, I was driving back from New Hampshire, I dropped my son off, boom, all of a sudden my phone starts blowing up. It's like John Lyons, Paul Perillo, Mike Giardi, all these guys are like, making friends again, what the hell did you do this time? Why is he all pissed at you? And I'm like, what? And I look at it and it was, so the only thing that annoyed me is, and you saw my response, you asked who I was and why I was talking about you, so I said, it's Andy Hart and it's part of my job, was like sort of that passive-aggressive Kobe, do I know you, man? Do I know you? Because it's 2025, and if you wanted to know who I was, you could have said, you know, Grok or ChatGPT or typed in who's Andy Hart or whatever. So, like, I'm here 3 days a week, 2 days a week at Fenway. It is what it is. That was the only thing that annoyed me. Was like sort of that condescending, like, who the bleep are you kind of thing.
Well, that just goes to show that you don't know me either. Because
I don't.
I went to the All-Star game and we interviewed Garrett Crochet to where I said, I don't know who Future is, the rapper. I did not know any of his songs.
He was shocked.
I don't either.
Yeah, so I'm pretty just not locked in on things.
Okay.
I don't do sports radio. Like, I'm on the Baseball Hour, but I don't listen to sports radio anymore because I don't want sports radio takes to get in my brain and then tweak my opinions. So I don't listen. Like, it's, I'm sure it's taken as a slight, sure, but I genuenuely just, I don't listen. I don't do other people's podcasts and et cetera.
Genuinely didn't, then Google it. That's what, you know, like if I don't know somebody, like if I were going to do an interview with the future, I'd be like,
I'll put it back to you. Google it. Google me. And then you would find out, oh, this guy actually does know his stuff.
No. He tells me that. That's where we go. Right. Dan Ball's a fan. But I also, it's funny because Dan has this theory. We talked about this coming in. He has this theory that you and I are more similar than we probably would want to admit in our, well, I don't even know how you put it, takes, styles,
yeah,
makeup, you guys energy.
You guys are both clearly very knowledgeable in your independent windows and avenues. And I think you guys are both very confident in the information you have. And I think it was two confident individuals who might be differing on this. That might be a little too generic, but...
Okay.
I think there's more that you have, like, personality-wise, just in the pride and the work that you do, than maybe kind of got lost in this.
Yeah, I think we're passionate people who he loves baseball. I came up in the world of football and love football, worked my way up, whatever. And I think there's probably some truth to that. But that was my just like, or at me. You know, that's the modern thing. Like, oh, if you want to go at somebody, right? Like, Will, when you were mad at me, you
we're
added me.
I told you to go F yourself.
You did, and you added me when you told me to go F yourself. So there's a little something there, I guess.
I didn't. By the way, that was not directed at you.
Ish.
But it's not.
We did find that out after the fact.
Isn't there hypocrisy in saying at me when you were talking about me on here, but never? No one here reached out saying, hey, do you want to, like, come on and talk about this?
I'll be honest. I didn't think that was an option. I thought you had commitments that would prevent such a thing.
And here we are.
You're welcome anytime you want. You want to talk baseball? Like, I think we have a great relationship with the manager. I think we do interviews with him. I think we've garnered a nice relationship rapport with him. So anytime we are here 2-3 times a week in this studio, that door is always open for you. If you got a problem with something I say, come on down. And if Dan brings some of your, because I also do the same thing you do. I try not to listen to too much because to me you end up snaking takes or whatever the hell they want to call it, and it influences you. I'd rather just come on here and pop off at the mouth with what I think, and every once in a while Will gets mad at me.
Walk in here. I have learned that. He says stuff about me that pisses me off, and it is
just come in and we'll talk about it.
Let's go.
That's what I do. Like, it's an open door policy, because I also just think you do podcasts, you do TV, you do whatever. If you're in the public spectrum talking opinions, whatever, about other people sometimes too, right? Like, you're not the only one whose opinion I'll criticize. It might be Bob Nightingale. It might be Adam Schefter. It might be whoever.
And nobody gets criticized more than the people on his own show.
That is true. Or the person right here, if you ever go to the internet, like, hot takes. Tom Curran called me, what, wrongheadedness radio? Because I think the Patriots O-line stinks. Stinks. Flat out stinks.
I think we have
to be able to take it, I guess.
No doubt. I have no issue with... Like, if you wanted to bring up something that I said, it was more just the central message was lazy. It was lazy and it was ignorant.
But don't we all have biases? So do you say you have unlimited, non-biased information and viewpoints at all times?
Oh, I'm incredibly biased towards the Red Sox.
Yeah. So there's something there. Whereas, like, we have a thing. I love Cora. I have grown to love him more the more I talk to him on a weekly basis. Part of it was because Bill Belichick was an a-hole to interview for 20 years. Now I talk to a guy who'll actually answer the question, acknowledge the topic. And now when we say stuff, boom, 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 whether it's Twitch, whatever, oh, you guys are never going to criticize him because he's in every Wednesday at 2:30, or Brian Scalabrine. He says we for the Boston Celtics. So, like, people think he has a certain bias from NBC Sports Boston. We're on the flagship station. You're on the flagship station. You're on Nesson. Hell, ESPN is buying NFL Network. So I'm going to be like, is ESPN covering the NFL anymore? Or are they in business with the... It's modern media, I guess I would say, is trying to sift through the biases in this business. And that's what I try to do. Because I try to know, am I being bamboozled? I'm not smart enough to do it with politics or finance or any of those things.
Yeah.
But I've been around sports long enough that sometimes you can kind of sniff out where's the information coming from and who benefits from that information being portrayed in a certain way.
Sure. And I think when you look through our track record, it's usually never wrong, just early. That's been the MO. So
you know what's crazy? That Ryan thing drives me bleeping crazy.
Because this would have been avoided if they had just gotten Joe Ryan.
Because all of us, I mean, look, you've got great sources. I have sources that I trust very much.
Yep.
And we both heard it almost the exact same time. Like, this thing is happening. Like, everyone in the room is going, they're about to do this thing. And if he's biased, I'm biased. Like, of course you hear me do the games.
Right.
I want the Red Sox to win. And they're better off, I'm better off when they win. And if they have Joe Ryan, I think they're a favorite to win the American League. So, like, we're all invested in the idea that, like, holy smokes, this is about to go down right now. And it was crazy. With the sort of benefit of time, I think what happened is they got caught up with Griffin Jackson, Duran, and all these other people and just didn't, frankly, have the time to finalize the deal. And maybe the Red Sox needed to pivot and do other things. But I'm with you 100%. I know 100% truth is that, like, they were close. And anybody who says they weren't is just not telling the truth. And they have their own agenda. They've got their own thing going on. They wanted him. They want him. They were close. And I don't think anybody who said that necessarily, myself included, is working any kind of angle or agenda.
So, Jared, before we wrap this up, sure. We're coming up on a break here. Final word, where are we? Do I need to look around the corner when I walk out here? Are you going to Nancy Kerrigan me?
That's a hell of a reference.
Anya!
No, we can shake hands and we can move on.
Okay.
Yeah.
We friends now? You friends of the show? Like, we ended the Will feud. Friends of the show, are you welcome anytime? You're going to stop by again? Like
Ted's a big fan. Yeah, I met him a couple
weeks. You say that. I haven't heard Ted say that. I'm going to ask him.
A couple weeks ago, shook my hand, big fan. Big
okay.
Fan. So for him, anything.
Last time I came on here and had a beef, a Hall of Famer started cursing at me. So you get Will Clark.
Will Clark.
Yeah,
we started that feud too. We tend to start feuds on here. I don't know how that happens.
Yeah, it's weird.
I wonder where that comes from.
We stumble into them somehow. But okay, so you're welcome. You're welcome anytime here. And if you have a problem, I guess just say, who is Andy Hart? And I'll reply to the tweet again, and we'll go off on our separate ways.
Beautiful. God bless Will Fleming, the mediator of the year.
Can Joe Ryan
not
be the Red
a little
Sox
bit. I
next
feel like
year?
We made no progress.
This winter, I think we revisit Joe Ryan.
So?
Yeah, I think we revisit Joe Ryan this winter, maybe if we don't sign Framber Valdez.
You know what drives me crazy is that people, I come on here and make all these predictions, and I said they were going to make big changes. They traded Devers, right? And then I said they're going to do big things at the deadline and in the offseason. I'm all in on that again. They're going to do more stuff.
So like, Valdez, did you notice how he slipped that in there?
He
told me
we're not wrong early.
Mason Miller, 2 years down the road.
How about both of them? How about Fromber and Joe Ryan and a couple duck boats in a row? What do you think?
I believe our manager said it's time to get greedy. Did he not say that?
He did.
Yeah.
Greed is good.
All right, Will Fleming, appreciate you playing the diplomatic whatever, Trump. Non-Trump, whatever it
don't
was.
Don't ever do that again. don't do that again.
Jared, appreciate you coming down. Appreciate you not hitting me wherever we were going on social media. We're in the same room now. And friend of the show, welcome anytime. You can come see Ted, and I'll just also be in the room with you, all right?
Perfect. I love that. As long as Will Fleming's here.
All right.
That's it.
Perfect. WEEI Afternoons here at Fenway Park.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
We'll be back in a minute.
Now, more of WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
WEEI Afternoons from our Ford Clubhouse Fenway studio, which was just loaded with people. Brought to you by your New England Ford dealers and the Ford Summer Sales Event. Hurry in to get great deals now, including on F-Series, the official truck of the Red Sox. So Dan Ball,
wow!
As a guy who was sort of the fly on the wall a little bit there,
absolutely, exactly where I wanted to be.
I think we say unpack in this business. There's a lot to unpack there.
Yeah.
Start unpacking.
I don't think you guys are going to be best friends.
I don't think so either. I don't think he likes me.
I think both stated their case. I thought that there was going to be a common ground that was reached. I thought it was going to be water under the bridge. I don't know if we quite got there, but I'm glad that both sides were able to at least verbalize what the other was thinking. Because the worst thing is either it's hearsay or through social media, a lot of things are lost. So if nothing else, I think it was clarified, which is good.
Ceasefire. I would term it a ceasefire.
Yeah, I think so. I think so.
And not like a Putin ceasefire to Trump where he then goes and shoots missiles on social media later, hopefully.
Right.
A real ceasefire.
Yeah, no. And I mean, I'm gonna continue to bring the information to the table. I'm glad that you presented your perspective. But the one thing that I thought that it was going to be Will And Jared walked
in. There was a film crew. What the hell was the film crew
doing
here?
And in comes...
I feel like I'm going to be on something I didn't agree to be on.
So the craziest part out of all of this is while you guys are having this conversation, former Red Sox first baseman Eric Hosmer is sitting 5 feet from you, just not on the microphone, just watching the entire thing. So okay. Hosmer was here, Steve Peralta, their cameraman Mike Eamon, and then another gentleman from Jared's non-Red Sox podcast was in here in addition to the three of us.
So was this Section 10 has a video component?
Yes, or just more through the Underdog MLB thing at large.
I didn't sign any waiver. Am I going to be in something?
I think so. Yeah, they were wearing microphones. So
I'm fine with what I said.
Yeah. So I mean, how do you unpack it? You had that interaction. I know you talked afterwards. I was talking with Steve a little bit and just kind of catching up. So what'd you think?
Yeah. No, I thought it was fine. As you said, I don't think we'll ever be best buddies and be grabbing beers together. I do think there are some insecurities that maybe we both have in our history based on who we are, where we worked, how we worked our way up. That kind of manifest themselves at times in our pushback to certain things.
Yeah.
I do even wonder, like, I'm going to take him at his word, because sometimes people say, I never even heard it. Somebody told me. I'll take him at his word that he never heard it.
Yeah.
Maybe if he had heard it, maybe it would have been different.
Right.
I don't know. And he seems to indicate, he said it a number of times, it wasn't so much, you know, who said it as what was said. I've been dealing with this crap for years.
Seems like you were the latest in what you would describe as traditional media to say something that he would disagree with in terms of his background.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people in traditional media would say, I've never been in traditional media, that I'm a little weird or an outsider and came up a certain way.
That's kind of why I was hoping you guys would find some common ground.
We didn't.
No.
I don't think he'll be back.
I think
that was a one and done.
Yeah. And that's okay. If nothing else, I'm glad that it didn't. I'm glad that it just didn't sit there. Like, I think both of you deserve to say your piece to the other and kind of voice your perspective on the other. And sometimes things just aren't made in heaven.
Nope.
Sometimes,
and that's okay.
Just are not.
That's why there's vanilla and chocolate and cookies and cream in the world.
Yep.
He does seem to like Ted.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, my first question to Ted, 3 o'clock tomorrow, is going to be, do you know who Jared Carabas is, and see what his answer is?
My recollection of that interaction was that it was, they said hello, and then I think Jared's comment to Ted was, holy blank, you're big.
Oh, so he got off on the right foot there, praised him. You used to tackle Emmitt Smith, and their relationship was off, and they love each other. I see how that
might have been a bit of, you know, comparing workout routines and stuff like that. So I don't know where it went from there, and I did not know Ted listened to Section 10. That'd be news to me, but either way, that was quite the interaction. And I'm glad, if nothing else, we got the chance to have.
And I will say, I do, the one thing I do 100% believe is that he talks to a lot of people, has a lot of information. Will I continue to filter said information through my skeptical brain? Absolutely.
Right.
You know, I do that with literally every piece of information that comes in here.
And that's what, I mean, not to get overly meta about it, but that's what everybody should do with everything. With whatever you're consuming, take into account where it's coming from and who it is for. Like, that's news, that's sports, that's anything. So that's just a good way to go about taking in media, I say, as part of the media.
All right, that was the breaking of bread with Jared Carabas. We're now acquaintances. We are now in a ceasefire.
Yeah, I think we're now just leaving each other alone.
Yeah, and I don't even know if I follow him on Twitter. I don't think I do. Maybe I'll follow him. Maybe that will be the olive branch that I will toss out there. He will see Andy Hart has now followed you. Although he's got so many followers, he'll never notice how many people followed him after this. Coming up on 5 o'clock, that means it's time for the drive, which means we need to get back to my assessment from Friday night. Before I was in this feud, before I was just enjoying beer and baseball at Fenway Park, and it was the most electric of environment I've ever been a part of. That and more in The Drive next here on WEEI Afternoons.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.